After it was postponed last week due to weather, as conditions need to be just right, the Marshall County Conservation has announced that they're holding their night prairie burn tonight. Those interested in seeing the prairie burn need to head out to the Grimes Farm around 7:30 and meet at the shelter. County Conservation will explain the need for prairie burns and why they do them each year before they conduct a prairie burn safely. You can follow their Facebook page as they'll post photos after the event. Yesterday afternoon, Marshall County Court gave a former Marshalltown High School teacher a 10-year suspended prison sentence, probation, and a fine for stealing money from the Marshalltown Education Association. 49-year-old Rachel Nelson Loopy had pled guilty to a single count of first-degree theft for stealing over $43,000 during her time as the organization's treasurer. The biggest discussion in court yesterday was about whether or not Nelson Loopy would receive deferred judgment. Ultimately, the court handed down a suspended sentence to not exceed 10 years with credit for any time served, a 5-year probation term, and a $1,370 fine. Restitution was dropped after Nelson Loopy paid back over $16,000 and the union had insurance and received the remaining amount. Warm weather always brings out those lawnmowers. Marshalltown Police Chief Chris Jones does like his lawn looking pristine, but he reminds homeowners that those grass clippings cannot be out on the roads.
And it can be hazardous for bicycle riders, and it can be hazardous for motorcycle riders. I just wanted to pass on some community awareness that it's not just necessarily a community cleanliness issue, but it's a safety issue if you're pushing your grass out on the road.
The grass clippings can cause riders to feel like they're driving over ice, and that can cause them to crash. Chief Jones says his officers will respond to this issue.
Realistically, if homeowners and business owners can just help us out a little bit, we can put those officers in other areas where they're needed.
People can bag their grass clippings and take them to the compost facility, which is open Fridays 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., or Sundays 12 o'clock noon to 4 p.m. The State Center Police Department posted more details about the high-speed chase and memorial damage from the weekend. Around 11 p.m. on Saturday night, police spotted a vehicle traveling eastbound on Highway 30 going 93 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. When officers began their pursuit, the truck then turned north on Gerhardt Avenue and turned west onto 235th Street, heading back into State Center. The driver of the truck turned off their headlights while heading back to town. When the officer in pursuit then entered State Center, they observed some dust in the air in the 300 block of 4th Street Southeast. As the officer continued to investigate the area, a crash scene was located at the Veterans Memorial in the State Center Rose Garden. The driver of the vehicle was determined to be a juvenile and was then taken to a juvenile detention center after being charged with operating while intoxicated and eluding. The passenger of the vehicle was arrested for an outstanding warrant not related to this incident. The State Center Police Department posted a video along with more details on their Facebook page, which is just called the State Center Police Department. Have you wanted to try a triathlon but don't have the time to train constantly for it? The Marshalltown YMCA has an opportunity for you, the Lazy Man Ironman Triathlon.
What we're going to do is we're going to let you swim 2.4 miles, bike 112 miles, and run 26.2 miles. But we're giving you a month to do it.
That's Marketing and Communications Director Andrew Potter, who says the YMCA will help participants track their progress throughout the month. Potter shares how people can sign up and who they need to connect with at the Marshalltown Y.
On our website, ymca-ywca.org, you give us a call or you can sign up in person. And our health and wellness team of Angie Paxson and Keisha Lockhart will be there to help you and along the way, and it's a lot of fun.
People can train outside of the Y facilities, but Potter is encouraging people to use the Y facilities throughout the challenge. It is all set to start from May 15th through June 15th. Weather once again kept farmers from getting into the fields to plant last week. The USDA weekly report says there were only 3 days suitable for field work last week. The amount of corn planted went from 1% up to 2%, which is now 14% behind the amount already planted by this time in 2025. There were soybeans reported in the ground for the first time last week, but the 1% is behind the 10% that had already been planted at this time last year. Yesterday, 420, has become an unofficial holiday for marijuana enthusiasts. Rob Sand, the only Democrat running for governor, has chosen this day to release more information about how he'd propose to legalize the sale and use of marijuana in Iowa if he's elected governor. Sand has been making the case for this move for months. Here he is on Iowa Press on Iowa PBS nearly 7 months ago.
I think a no-brainer is that we should be treating cannabis in Iowa the same way that we treat alcohol.
Sand says only those who are 21 or older should be able to buy marijuana products. However, he'd ban public consumption, so he'd ban smoking marijuana in parks, on sidewalks, in moving vehicles, or in other public places.
It's a drug. It's like alcohol. It can be dangerous. We should regulate and tax its use rather than pretending that we want to throw everyone in prison when we've already got a workforce crisis anyway.
Sand says the state should license businesses to sell cannabis products, and a state tax on cannabis would offset the state's structural budget deficit. Sand says many Iowans are driving across state lines and buying marijuana in neighboring Missouri, Illinois, and Minnesota, where it's legal.
They're fueling that state's tax coffers, not ours.
Sand would seek limits on THC content, the chemical in marijuana that creates the psychoactive effect, and require cannabis product packaging that's child resistant. Republican candidate Adam Steen says if he's elected governor, he'll push to expand state-funded education savings accounts to parents who homeschool their children.
School choice only works if it's a real choice. Parents deserve the freedom to choose the educational environment that aligns with their values, their faith, and the goals for their children.
Under current law, parents who send their children to private schools are eligible for over $8,000 in state funding. Steen has been critical of Republican rival Randy Feenstra for suggesting a change in Iowa's ESA program requiring private schools to take all students who apply for admission.
Iowa must protect educational savings accounts and ensure the government does not weaken the independence of faith-based and private education. If Randy Feenstra would show up for debate, I'm sure this would be a great topic to discuss.
A spokesman for Feenstra says Feenstra is the clear and commanding front runner in the race for the GOP nomination for governor, has made nearly 100 campaign stops where he's answered tough questions. Steen held a news conference at the State House on Monday morning to unveil what he called his conservative agenda for Iowans. He's promising to issue executive orders to protect minors from online porn and to ban Sharia law in any city or county in the state if the legislature doesn't act.
There are a lot of concerns right now around the state of Iowa, and Sharia law is starting to embed itself into communities across the United States, and I am here to ensure that it does not embed itself here in the state of Iowa.
Last year, Congressman Feenstra co-sponsored the No Sharia Act in the U.S. House. Steen is also promising that if he's elected governor, he'll market Iowa as a landing spot for businesses and individuals in states where governors have what he calls a blue agenda. Steen's first focus would be on Virginia. Senator Chuck Grassley says he's recovering from surgery to remove a gallstone. Grassley, who's 92, announced on social media that he had undergone surgery this past weekend and is grateful for the excellent care of local health care providers. Grassley's staff says the senator is working from Iowa and is in good spirits. Grassley has served in the U.S. Senate for over 44 years and won re-election in his eighth term in 2022. He's currently the Senate's oldest member. Coming up, we're going to talk about bees being pollinators and how that can affect all the plants that you have. It's 1210.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Bruce Wirin. Let's work together to make sure your finances meet your unique needs over the long haul. You've done what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Call us at 641-753-4163 to schedule an appointment. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
It's 1210, 75 degrees, and want to remind you at 6:50 tomorrow, we will announce the last grandstand act at the Iowa State Fair, And then we'll give away pairs of tickets tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. Listen up, your chance to win them before you can buy them. Let's go back to the newsroom with Zach Tomish.
While it's long been known that having a wide range of plants attracts pollinators like bees, butterflies, and bats, a new Iowa State University study finds pollinators may be an important factor in supporting plant diversity. Iowa State ecology professor Brian Wisely says over 4 years, researchers carefully set up and monitored plots of restored prairie and in some areas purposely excluded access to bees. Wisely says they found less seed production and fewer plant species at the bee-free plots.
We as a community just want to move forward and make the repairs that are needed to protect the property into the future. We're sitting here 6-7 years later, and it would be really nice to get this project completed.
Excuse me. Wisely says the results from the plots where bees were kept out surprised him, as that increased at about 25% more plants where bees were allowed to be. The ongoing debate at the State House over how to cut property taxes includes a discussion of the gas tax. A Senate-passed property tax bill includes a mechanism to automatically trigger yearly increases in the gas tax. Scott Newhard, vice president of the Associated General Contractors of Iowa, says while the proposal ties those increases to an inflation factor, there may be a penny per year limit, and most annual increases would be a fraction of a cent.
A driver, for instance, of an 18-gallon vehicle would have seen an increase, had it been in effect last year, of 11 cents at the fill-up. The average driver is probably fills up 30 times a year. That's $3.30 to go for the costs of building and maintaining Iowa's highway infrastructure.
Tyler Rager is state director for Americans for Prosperity, a conservative group that opposes triggering a gas tax increase.
We're staring down the barrel of the third highest gas prices in human history. And we're seriously having a conversation about putting the gas tax on autopilot and raising it on Iowans. We just don't think that makes sense.
Nick Lanning is a lobbyist for Truck Stops of Iowa, which represents diesel fuel retailers.
While other states are pausing their gas taxes or trying to give relief, why are we considering an increase in the fuel tax in this current economic environment, nationally and internationally?
We're set back in 2015, and the state tax on diesel is 32.5 cents a gallon, and it's 30 cents a gallon on gas. Coming up, we don't have any funeral announcements, but